Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday. Thank you for being with us here on the Annie Fry Show. A lot taking place on Capitol Hill right now. Lots to continue to happen on Capitol Hill as we march towards the holiday. Let's go to our guest. Very excited to have senior congressional correspondent for Fox News, Chad Pergram, on the show with us once again. Chad, welcome back. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
It seems very busy there today. It looked like there was some votes taking place in the Senate on health care. Can you walk us through what we were able to learn from the Senate regarding their efforts to try to improve the health care system for Americans?
Well, this was the byproduct of the Democrats who sided with the Republicans to end the government shutdown. They said, we will help you end the shutdown if you give us a vote on health care. So that's all it was, just a vote. Didn't say we're going to fix health care, but the root of the problem is that these Obamacare subsidies were going to expire at the end of the year. And so the Democrats put out a 3-year extension of those subsidies. Republicans put out a plan, and there was some debate among Republicans about whether or not they should even do a plan at all. But to say, okay, we're not going to extend the subsidies at all, but what we're going to do is give everybody health care savings accounts, where then you can go around and shop for the coverage that you want. Well, both plans failed. We didn't think anything was going to pass today, or they were going to be able to break a filibuster or anything like that. There were test votes on both of these. The Republican plan got 51 yeas. That's important because it was a simple majority, but they needed 60. Mm-hmm. And Rand Paul, Republican from Kentucky, he voted no. All Democrats voted no. Now, what I thought was interesting when you fillet this vote a little bit is that the Democratic plan actually got more votes than the Republican plan from Republican senators.
Interesting.
They also got 51 votes, but remember, there's only 47 senators who caucus with the Democrats. And Steve Daines, Republican from Montana, he was out today, but Susan Collins of Maine, Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, Dan Sullivan of Alaska, and Josh Hawley all voted yes. So there were 4 Republicans who voted to extend those subsidies. Now, what does that mean? It means that they're very concerned about these Obamacare subsidies just disappearing at the end of the way, even though Obamacare is anathema to most Republicans. They realize if they turn off that faucet on January 1st and Republicans are in control of both the House and Senate, who's going to get blamed in the midterms? And right, the president's out talking about affordability, game, set, match. This works against the Republicans.
Interesting. Chad Pergram speaking with us from Capitol Hill, their senior congressional correspondent for Fox News. Is part of the appropriations process potentially going to, you know, solve this problem? Can the Republicans get their act together and get enough votes to pass that filibuster to put something in the appropriations bill to address this?
It could. This gets a little nettlesome, to be honest with you. You know what I find remarkable, and let me just reel back for a minute here. Remember that the government shut down for 43 days. They have funded the government since the middle of November. It is now the middle of December. And have they done any more appropriations bills on the floor? No. The government, and this is 9 of the 12 spending bills they still have to resolve. They approved 3 in the package that reopened the government back in November. So they have to do these other nine. And it's not like there's just three quarters of the government. I mean, they have the Pentagon spending bill, which is gigantic, which is more than half of all spending. So they have this deadline for January 30th. Now, what could happen is that Republicans could conceivably incorporate something into that and say, Democrats, take it or leave it. This is what we're going to do to fund the government, and kind of bank on the idea that some of these Democratic senators who helped them out in the fall might be able to assist. Okay, that's possible, but that universe is not formed yet. This is me just kind of looking, you know, through the matrix here and seeing the code, the things that are available. That's one possibility. But you know, if they don't address this, there's a very distinct possibility that the government could just shut down again on January 30th because they have not addressed this. And if Democrats say, you know, look, this playbook worked for us really well in the fall, and we think that Republicans are going to get blamed, we'll run that play again because they are in charge of the Congress and they have not passed anything.
Right. Certainly. Chad Pergram speaking with us right now. It seemed as though the shutdown that was, you know, very labeled the Schumer shutdown, that Chuck Schumer didn't exactly win that battle for himself. But the Democrats were, it seems to me, and you're there, so you can correct me when I'm wrong. It seems to me that health care wasn't the primary discussion that was being had until the shutdown was enacted. Is it a win for Democrats
They were talking about this from the beginning, and that's why Republicans or Democrats think that they have a winning political hand. They made that known in September that was their issue, that they said, okay, you have to address the health care subsidies. And they didn't. I mean, so this came out of left field. I thought it was interesting, again, talking to Josh Hawley, the senator from Missouri, who mm-hmm. said just the other day, he said, we're up against this deadline now. He said, we should have been dealing with this in July and August. I mean, everybody knew that deadline was coming, whether you're for it or against it. It's a problem. And I thought it was also interesting when I spoke with Eric Schmidt, Republican senator from Missouri, today as well. He dialed this back and said, oh, this is all on Obamacare. Obamacare has failed. And I said, okay, fine. That was passed in 2009, 2010. That's 15, 16 years ago. Voters know who controls the Congress now. You just can't go back and say, oh, Obamacare is a bad program. You know, you have to figure out a way to address this, whether you like it or not. And this is where Roger Marshall, a Republican from Kansas, who just doesn't like these subsidies, said, OK, let's do a 1-year off ramp and clean this up somehow. This is why you had 4 Republican senators vote for the Democratic plan today, more across the aisle on the GOP side than did so on the Democratic side.
Yeah, it will be very interesting to see how they're going to have to address these subsidies expiring one way or the other. It'll be interesting to see how they're able to achieve that with that 60 vote margin in the Senate. Yes, or was it yesterday? Go ahead.
And there is one way. You know, you might have been hinting at something earlier. It's not in the appropriations process, but what they could do, and some Republican senators have said this, including Eric Schmidt and John Kennedy from Louisiana, the Republican there. They said, OK, what we as Republicans have to do is do our own bill, do our own health care bill. We have the House, we have the Senate, we have the president. And you can do that and get around a filibuster if you use that budget process called, which does not directly have anything to do with appropriations. It sounds like it does, but it doesn't, called budget reconciliation, which is where you don't have to put up with a filibuster. You can do this unilaterally. Now, they've done 3 of those already this Congress. And I pressed Senator Schmidt. I said, you think we can do a 4th this year, in this Congress? And he said, yes. He said, we should be, you know, going in that direction. If they get really stuck, that might be the only option to address health care. And that would be a Republican plan, frankly, because they could do that on their side. But again, they have to thread that needle. You've got a really tight margin in the House. You got a somewhat tighter margin in the Senate. But again, you know, you have people who might oppose this. And Annie, I want to come back to a fundamental point. This is what vexes the entire problem. I go back to 2009 and 2010. Republicans have trash talked Obamacare, whether it's deserved or not, we can debate, since 2009, 2010. They have never been able to coalesce around a plan that they can pass. Period. Fiend. 30. Full stop.
Yeah.
And therein lies the rub why we're scrambling around 2 weeks before Christmas and thinking they can fix Obamacare.
Yeah. I think, you know, in my initial question to you, I feel like the Democrats were able to elevate this as an important talking point by way of the shutdown for the nation. And to your point, you've said that they've been talking about this for a long time. I do think that the shutdown brought this to the American people's attention. Like, we're so used to it being unhappy with the healthcare system. We just don't expect, to your point, since 2009, anything to change. Now the Democrats are saying something needs to change, and they'll have to figure out how to get that done. I wanted to ask you real quick before we let you go about the National Defense Authorization Act. It sounded like the Republican leadership, Speaker Johnson, was struggling a little bit to keep everybody together to get this passed.
That is emblematic of the problem on health care. I mean, if they can't pass a defense bill, which
Correct.
They did, yeah. but without a struggle, they're not going to be able to pass health care. So, yes, go ahead, please. You get the point.
I just wondered how it did seem like at the end there were people who switched their votes, four or five people maybe, that decided, okay, we'll vote in favor of this. How did they get the band back together?
They did to get across the rule, which is the kind of the pre-vote. You have to have the rule approved first in order to get to the underlying issue. And basically, there were some promises that were made on some other issues, you know, that were important to them. You know, it wasn't so much about the defense bill itself. You know, that passed by a wide bipartisan overwhelming margin, and that was important. And there were some people, frankly, Annie, who thought they might turn around in a few days and say, you know, this is the only train leaving the station that Congress has to pass this year. Maybe we put health care on that. Now, that might have created another set of problems, but, you know, you often look at which train is leaving the station on Capitol Hill. And that was certainly one of them.
All right. Chad Pergram, we are so grateful for you and your time. Thank you for being with us this afternoon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. Senior congressional correspondent for Fox News, Chad Pergram. It was interesting to watch the Democrats walk through the shutdown and not really be all on the same page, obviously, when Dick Durbin, second highest senator on the Democrat side, decided to go with the, what was it, eight or so Democrats who voted to end the shutdown. Very little concession that I don't think if you got sideswiped by the government shutdown personally, you probably didn't look at what the Democrats got out of it and go, well, that wasn't worth it. But we are talking about our healthcare program system in our country right now. If the Democrats brought that to the forefront, the Republicans have been complaining about Obamacare since before it was passed. The Affordable Care Act gets put into law and they tax the American people, penalize them if you don't sign up for this stupid system that we have right now. And to Chad Pergram's point, I think Republicans have become a little apathetic about saying this is still a problem that needs to be fixed. And the Democrats decided to hang their hat on that, shut the government down over it. Now they've elevated it to a primary issue that American people are going, yeah, that's right. This does suck. Something does need to be done about it. Good move by the Democrats, maybe in the moment. Bad move by the Democrats for them on the whole. If the Republicans can get off their tuchuses and actually get something done for the American people, you're going to have a slim amount of time to really take this ball and score the touchdown that needs to be scored to fix this problem for the American people once and for all. And I truly do agree with Chad Pergram's statement there. Like, Republicans, what's your plan? We need a plan. Pointing at the other side and saying what they're doing sucks and then thinking you're going to get elected on that and then you're just going to do the same thing the next election and the next election. That's how Democrats have been winning for a long time. They just say that the Republicans suck. They think the Republicans are better than everybody. The Republicans don't know how what it's like to live your life. They have very much so in decades leading up to Donald Trump, they've played a more of a populist message. They were the party for the little guy. They wanted to represent you, talk about affordability. Then they got the power with Joe Biden. They blew everything up. Every chart that I see out there where the Democrats are trying to say, look how much it costs to energy costs today. Look how much eggs cost today. Look how much gas costs today. The increase is all through the Biden years. But nobody, well, where was that chart? Why were you not sharing that chart when the slope was going drastically up? Republicans can say we need to win in 2024 because we need the reins of power so we can fix these problems. You might want to have a plan when you get there to fix the problems. We've talked to Congressman Eric Burleson multiple times about his thoughts, and we've heard the president of the United States talking about health savings accounts that empower the patient, the client, you, to use those monies and apply them where you think you can be best served for whatever your circumstances are. If you're a high user of the healthcare system, or if you're like, if I get in a car accident, I would like to not have to file for bankruptcy so that I can live. It's up to you. You can invest the dollar based on the risk you're willing to take. That's all we do in America, in every transaction. But not this one, because President Barack Obama decided to make health care a required purchase for Americans all across the board. And then he said, if you don't want to play this game, we're going to fine you. We're going to tax you for it. And then the Democrats said, well, they were trying to pass it. No, it's not a tax. Obamacare is not a tax. It's not a tax. They pass it, and then the Supreme Court rules on the Affordable Care Act and says the only way that this is constitutional is if it's a tax. And oh, by the way, it's a tax. And it's not gotten any better since then. I don't hear anybody championing the American healthcare system. Are you paying more? Are you getting less? Folks, this is what happens when government takes over. Take it back, Republicans. You've got the power. We'll be back. Don't go away.
I just want to dance with you. I got a feeling that you have a heart like mine, so let it show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
How much Christmas obligation have you fulfilled so far? Percentage?
85.
Okay. So you're close.
Yeah.
If you're sitting 85% on December 11th, you're going to be able to enjoy Christmas.
You're talking about the gifts, the stuff that you have to do.
The decorating, the gifts, the baking, like whatever all of that that you guys do that are things you have to do.
Yeah, I'd say we're pretty good.
Who's in charge?
This year it's been me. Most of the time it's my wife.
What are you in charge of? How do you navigate and delegate?
So we do a present inventory with the kids, usually around Thanksgiving.
With them?
Sorry, not with for the kids, of the kids, but not with the kids.
And by the kids.
Yeah. we it's a tradition that we always just have the grandparents take them for one weekend night. We usually go out on a date, and then we come back and we do inventory of presents to see what we need to buy, what we have, because we buy stuff throughout the year. And we were pretty close when we did the inventory. So she's actually out right now. She gets a half day today to go shopping. Her school does that for the teachers. And so she's out right now. She could be listening. I have no idea. Shopping for one of the kids who has a couple less than the others. And then we're basically done.
Do you do... Your kids are in school, right?
My kids
are
in school?
Your wife is off.
My wife is off. Yes.
Do you go... You've got three kids. Is it a spend?
No.
Although you're inventorying.
Yeah.
What's the goal
with the big gift or gifts? You know, because usually there's like one thing that they really wanted that costs more than other things. That one we try to match the spend. But aside from that, it's really just the number of things that you got, number of things you wanted. And I will say, unfortunately, this year I'm not going to say too much specifically.
Right.
But the boys, we had to spend a little bit more on what the boys wanted this year, because they're just at that age, my 11-year-old, my 8-year-old, and they do this together a lot, which we like. They do a lot of Lego building together. And our whole basement's kind of full of Legos now. And they wanted specific sets and stuff, and those things are not cheap.
No, they're stupidly, they're insanely, irresponsibly, like, I'm like, you don't need Legos. Expensive. You're going to do without.
If they didn't do it together so much, we would not be as cavalier about it. But it's just a great thing that they do.
Do they keep them intact afterwards?
They kind of, so especially with the sets, you know, we have a lot of just loose Legos. But with the sets, they do tend to keep them together. And they're at that age where it's just as much about collecting as it is about building.
I bought some amazing sets for Charlie over the years. And I mean, he was a kid and he was playing with it the way kids do. But like the Millennium Falcon, he had that, and it was
a big one.
It was and it was so cool. But it's going to fall apart. So I mean, like, unless you get it and you have a place to set, and kids don't buy toys to sit there and look at it. But I mean, that's what the Legos are for. They're for playing with.
They do play.
You can't buy that stuff for your children when their eyes light up when they see it, and then they don't play with it right.
Right.
You have to let it go. And so I've gotten out of the Lego thing my daughters, they liked them because their older brother played with them and they wanted their own, but it's not really if he wants to buy his own, he can do that. Now, Charlie's 15 and your kids are not quite there yet. But we do presents, X amount of presents per kid. And every year it's different. We've done the same thing. We've hoarded aside different things that we've purchased throughout the course of the year or whatever. If oftentimes the way I do it is when my kids are like, oh, I'd really like to have that. And it's September and it's a $15, $8 notebook or something on Amazon. I sit there and I just order it and it gets shipped. And then I set it aside for a lot of those little things. But our philosophy, I think opening presents and like that walk in to see the Christmas tree is one of the coolest things of childhood. I think it's like one of the peak things that kids remember. And I think that experience of, you know, the dramatic turns that you're hustling down to see like what's under the Christmas tree, I think that that moment is bigger than like what's actually in the gifts. And so each kid will usually have around 15 gifts to open, maybe more. But seriously, some of them might be your brand new toothbrush and toothpaste, a package of socks, Mikey socks or something like that, that they really wanted. I would honestly say, you know, if you're getting like 15 or so gifts for Christmas, at minimum, 5 of them are impossibly practical. And it's just like the gift is the fact is I gave it to you and we wrapped it and you got to open it. And we will kind of orchestrate the opening so that those lean a little bit earlier in the gift giving process, opening process. And then there's always like the last thing that you get is usually the biggest thing. But the older they've gotten, I hate stuff. I hate it. I'm with six people in our household, I am repelled by things for the sake of things. And Christmas has been hard this year to come up with things that they want. Like it, when I ask them, what do you want? They don't really come up with things in particular. We're a very on the go family. There's not a lot of sitting at home and playing with toys. And I'm restrictive about like devices that they can have and all that stuff. So some of the stuff they don't ask for because they know that I just won't let them. I love experiences. One of my daughters, her favorite thing in the world is getting a pedicure. She thinks she's transforming into this ulterior land of fanciness, and she just absolutely loves it. So I'm always thinking, like, take her to get a pedicure with you. She that experience will be something that she will treasure so much more than a nail set that will just become another thing that sits in the house.
It's funny you say that.
That's hard to wrap, though. You still need to have the unwrapped
thing. But it's a big gift, though. How do you wrap that up? It's usually an envelope. I'm taking you to the salon.
I'll usually, in that instance, like buy a $5 thing of nail polish and wrap that up, and then with the note in it or something like that. But the experiences is so much better.
I don't know how to buy gifts for girls. I mean, my wife, I know what she wants, but my daughter.
Does she have to tell you specifically?
No, she just, her and my daughter both, they make Christmas lists all year. Yeah. So they want stuff all year. And I used to just buy the junk, you know, the, like, oh, here's a set of bracelets, daughter. She's like, I don't really want that, I don't know that. And I figured that out as she got older.
How, if your wife was to give you a grade on gift giving to her.
To my wife?
The gifts that you give your wife, birthdays, anniversaries, Christmas, whatever warrants a gift, what grade would she give you?
A, probably A+.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm very good at getting stuff for her.
Is it because you're a good listener and you do what you're told, or are you so in tune with your wife and thoughtful that you just nail it every time?
It's both, because I listen to what she's saying throughout the year, and then I kind of track, because she's the kind of person who she thinks out loud.
Yeah.
So
she's not doing that on accident, by the way.
Well, she thinks out loud even when it's not something that I need to know. She's just kind of thinking. So I'm like, okay, but if she says, oh, I'd really like to get this thing, then I note it. If she says it again, then I really note it. And if she says it past that, I'm like, okay, she really wants this thing.
The interesting thing about this is that the chances of her saying that, especially if she's saying it multiple times, she does not want to tell you to go buy it for her, because then she'll just buy it for herself. She's saying it hoping that, especially if it comes up more than once, she's saying it hoping you're paying attention, and you are.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's happening like throughout the course of the year. That's something that happens later in marriage. That you learn to like listen for those types of things throughout the course of the year.
I've always been good at that.
But I don't think most men are.
I'm better than most men.
Well, obviously.
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 Period.
Oh. Well, I wasn't done with the sentence, but I'll let it there. I the way you talk about buying gifts originally, I don't know if you're still doing this for your daughter. You're like, that's a girl thing. She'll like that.
That's the way it was when she was little.
That's the way a lot of men shop for women early on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get married because you've done that. I think some men, you might need to do that 2 or 3 times to pick up on that. Did not land. That was not it. Women mostly. Can I speak for all women here? I'm going to go ahead and say yes. The gift that you give, women mostly want from that the understanding that you pay attention to them, that you listen to them, and that you pay attention to them. And I think that men, once you've been married for a little bit, you learn that. And then if you adapt to it, you'd be a happy man.
I am a happy man. Because I've done that all along the way. This year was
easy. That's crap. You've said that your whole marriage advice is to start with the lowest expectations as possible so that you can elevate.
No, and that's also true.
You're conflicting your own advice here.
Well, But the presents have gotten bigger and more expensive.
How long do you plan on being married?
I don't know, next couple of years at least. I haven't thought beyond that. So hopefully longer, but you know,
yeah.
You got to take it one day at a time.
Yeah.
But this year was easy because she wanted stuff that she already had tried on, like clothing stuff, or had already tried out. And it was in October that she's like, look, I just want this stuff. And I knew that that was true. So I said, okay, we'll just get that for you. And she's very happy.
Who shops for your daughter?
We both do, but she's better at it. My daughter, though, has gotten
your daughter
so
probably talks
good.
To her about it.
Well, she talks
in a way
about the stuff,
different.
And she makes lists all year and puts
girl.
Them on the refrigerator for
buy
us.
Buy this.
Yeah, so it's pretty easy. But it's the same thing. If she mentions it multiple times, then I know it's not just, oh, I saw that and I like it. It's that she really wants it. And she's been thinking about it.
YouTube live chat poll for today. Is there a war on Christmas? Yes or no? Text us at 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797. And if you want to call us and tell us what you think about the existence or lack of the war on Christmas, 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. You can call us. You can text us. If we get any calls on this, maybe we'll take a few when we come back. Weigh in on ourselves. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Say, are you married? We'll say no, man, but you...
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show, 314-241-9797, 314-241-9797. Is there a war on Christmas? Paul comments on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, my impression, quote, a war on Christmas, end quote, is a concept enveloped with, quote, culture wars, which is primarily a construct of MAGA political framework. I do not see evidence that an overt rejection of And then it runs out. So, okay, there's the end of that comment. I don't have the rest of it. You can't say that the war on Christmas is a MAGA political framework, because this was a huge tenet in Bill O'Reilly's, the O'Reilly factor, when Barack Obama was the president and Donald Trump wasn't even on the scene. So when Paul is saying that the war on Christmas is part of the culture wars assertion, that I understand, but trying to connect it, saying the culture wars is a primary construct of MAGA political framework, I don't think that that's it at all. I think the epicenter of MAGA political framework is basically a statement that says we love America, America is great, and trying to destroy it is not going to be something we're going to stand by and watch happen anymore. We are not going to upend everything that we have built because some people on the scene have showed up and said, everything is wrong. It needs to be fundamentally transformed. Turn the whole thing inside out and give me the power to do it, because I know how to do it better than anyone else.
I would say this issue more than most predates Trump. This is one that was the real fight over it was happening years before Donald Trump ever came on the scene.
I feel like Donald Trump was the guy who came in and was like, Merry effing Christmas, everybody.
And it kind of solved it in a way. I mean, not completely.
We were all like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one of the reasons that you liked him. And he would grab these kinds of issues and just go, no, you're wrong.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. And everybody, okay, good.
I said we would talk about this a little bit later in the show. We can come back up with more comments if they hit us, or if you want to give us a call or a text, 314-241-9797. I said I have a passionate take on this. I'll go around the room and see what you guys think about it before I dive into it. Brad, your thoughts on the war on Christmas?
Yeah, I think there's always been a war on Christmas. There's still a war on Christmas. It just varies in intensity. I think we're in a time now where, you know, we're winning. And by we, I mean, you know, the people that are proponents of Christmas. It's okay to say Merry Christmas. People are starting to realize that Merry Christmas isn't an insult to somebody who is not a Christian, who doesn't believe in Christmas, who's Jewish or whatever religion. It's just a nice way of wishing somebody a good, you know, happy season, a good season of time. But always Christianity is under attack. It always is. It's just the nature of it. So yeah, my answer would be yes, it's under, there's a war on Christmas.
What about you, Ryan?
I am also a yes on this topic, although it does seem to have died down a little bit, because I think there's been something, I would echo really a lot of what Brad's saying, so let me put a different spin on it. Stores in the last few years have done not quite an about-face, but they've certainly opened their doors back up to Christmas. You see Christmas in stores a little bit more than you did for a while, which does indicate to me that there is a culture war, that the corporate America was a little bit afraid of being offensive for a little while, and everybody went, shut up. And they heard it, and they said, okay. And they've kind of backed off it a little bit. So I would say in that sense, the war on Christmas has moved in the right direction or died down a little bit, if you want to put it that way. But I do believe there's always, like Brad was saying, there's always a war on Christmas, because there's always a war, spiritually speaking, going on around us at all times, and Christmas is a part of that.
I don't disagree with what you guys are saying, but I would vote no in this. I think the war on man, I anticipate this to be an unpopular opinion today based on how you guys decide to come vote. I think the war on Christmas is a manufactured counterpoint to a culture war. So that's where I kind of intersect with what you're saying. And one of our commenters that you read earlier in the show, Ryan, talked about there being a war on Christianity. The labeling a Christmas tree a tree instead of talking about it as a Christmas tree, that to me is downstream from a repulsion to Christianity, which, you know, we're Christians in here. I think a lot of you listening are Christians. I think most of you listening are people of faith of one way, shape, or form. But I think that Christianity became to be a mainstream villain around the mid-2000s, in the middle of a war that a lot of people were starting to understand less and less, and a lot of people who felt opposed to George W. Bush because of how he was handling 9/11. Like, 9/11 was the unifier for this country. I don't think we... I don't think we will ever see that unification in our lifetimes again. I think that generations removed from that moment might, but God forbid, because the cost is incredibly too high to have that kind of a moment once again. But the war on terror that was taking place kind of led into a war on Christmas. And in opposition to the war on terror, really bore out Barack Obama. And Barack Obama said essentially that the entire country is based on something that we should all be apologetic for. Some of us should sit down and shut up about. And it was really like your ability to speak out on these things was simply based on your skin color, which in and of itself is just, what's the word for it? Oh, racist. But the war on Christmas is really something that kind of came out of the war on terror. And people didn't agree with the war on terror. And that became an opposition to Republican politics because the Republican was the one who was in charge making the decisions to go to war on terror. And it was like, what exactly are we doing? It's weird to have lived it and to know people who have now retired from their military service who signed up due to 9/11. To have gone through everything they went through in Afghanistan and Iraq, in other areas in the Middle East, trying to fight against the war on terror. Is that what the war's called? Operation Iraqi Freedom was one thing. That was something different. But I think that, like, historically, the war on terror is a... It might not... That was that what Biden ended?
I don't know if they ever... officially named, like, an operation the War on Terror.
Weird to completely arm Al-Qaeda in the end of the War on Terror.
Oh my gosh, don't get me started.
I think the War on Christmas was a... I hesitate to boil it down to just a talking point because I don't think it's without merit. I actually think that labeling it the War on Christmas made the anti-Christian sentiment significantly bigger than it wouldn't have been if it wouldn't have been packaged for a B slot on a news station.
It's a good point. A couple of really good comments here. I'm going to pull up one that was almost exactly when you made this point. This comment came up from Jim E. Or Jime, not sure which.
or Jim A.
The war on Christmas Jaime. Is ongoing.
Yeah.
It all began when Democrats went woke during Obama. Okay. Here's another one from Chris. That is the war. Normal people versus the ones who are offended by everyone and everything.
Well, and you know, that's why I push back on, like, taking up arms to fight in the war to defend Christmas. Because if you hold Christmas in the palm of your hand as the birth of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's never going to end. And boiling it down to just the holiday because people don't want to say Christmas tree. I mean, look at all the goofy places that are still participating in this. Most people aren't. You know why? Because Christmas is really good business for a capitalistic society. They can't take a pass on that. The lunatics that are doing this, like, was it Kansas City? I saw Attorney General Catherine Hanaway in the state of Missouri was like, hey, what the heck is this? There's a strongly worded letter from, I think, City Hall or something in Kansas City. And they're like, we are going to acknowledge the holiday season in a non-religious specific way, which might involve green garland and poinsettias, but with no religious affiliation whatsoever. And they're out there, was it Ramadan or something?
Yeah, something like
that. They were acknowledging. And she's, A.G. Hanaway's like, hey guys, what about this one? High five to her. We're going to be speaking with her soon on the show. We got her scheduled here coming up in the next week or so. But these people are hypocrites and they know it and they don't care. The only place where the war on Christmas is still battling is, in my opinion, for the people who have clung to it on the left in the spaces where they feel like they can still get away with it. Everybody else is like, oh, yawn. Moving on. Is there a war on Christianity? Until Jesus comes back, folks. That's how big of a deal it is. That's not going to go away. And honestly, That's the way, that's the biblical sense of the entire purpose of Christmas. Jesus came back, or Jesus came to be with us, to save us. He's going to come back again. And if you are not for that, in my Christian view, you're against it. So why would there not be conflict there? I feel like the war on Christmas is a poll-tested phrase that I feel like ends up making Christians look like Grinches defending the thing that Christmas is really about. It's like, you're doing the right thing, but you don't need to do it this way. Like, to me, it's just like, just tell people Merry Christmas. And if you know that somebody doesn't celebrate Christmas, if you know you're talking to a Jewish person, say Happy Hanukkah to them if you want. Or if they say Merry Christmas to you, you could say Happy Hanukkah back. If they say Happy Hanukkah to you, you could say Merry Christmas back. You could say Happy Holidays. But none of it holds the balance of our salvation in our hands. And if you think it does, read the book again. We'll be right back. Don't go away. Ask her if she wants to stay. So tomorrow, Ruler Foods, that's our food drive. We do this every year. I'm so excited. I hope that you're going to be able to make it out. A lot of people like to do shopping. And, you know, usually what ends up happening, we usually have a food bank rep there from the St. Louis Area Food Bank.
Yeah, the CEO will be there.
And she will stand there and tell you, like, what they need. And usually what they need is protein. So protein is more expensive, generally speaking. So less people will drop that off compared to maybe canned green beans and that type of stuff. So if you want to do very thoughtful, intentional donating tomorrow, you can show up and talk to them and they'll tell you, here are the things that we could use the most of. But at the end of the day, a lot of people will come in and hand us cash. And I like hold this wad of cash and I'm documenting every dollar that comes in. And Trisha's doing the same thing so that we know exactly what we have brought in. And Ryan goes and supermarket sweeps Ruler Foods to the extent where we have been buying pallets of things before.
Yeah, we've done that several times. I've gotten it down to a science now, not the science. I've gotten it down to a science in that I know Ruler well enough to know how to get the best bang for the buck when you donate something to the food bank. And by the way, all of that, all the donations, all the food, they stay right here. So it's
right in the St. Louis area.
It's all
not with Ryan.
Not right here in the studio.
He's like oatmeal cream pies for everybody named me.
I do that as well sometimes.
You do that?
I do. but it's a good cause and it is local and they vet the people who get the food. And, you know, I feel very good about this charity. And it's one of the reasons we do it every year, not because I feel good about it, but because it is a very good charity and it is very local and we're all very happy with it.
So if people want to bring in donations, you can write checks directly to the food bank, the St. Louis Area Food Bank, and those checks we hand over to them. But if you want to help contribute to our shopping trip that Ryan's going to do at the end, then what you're going to do is... Okay, I was like, stay tuned for more.
We're going to go right past the top of the hour.
If you want to contribute to Ryan's shopping trip, which would make Ryan very happy, you can stop by and drop off a $5 bill or whatever you want to give.
Whatever.
Sometimes it's envelopes and we open it up and it's like, are you sure? Did you count this? Is there a different envelope? We've gotten some amazing donations.
A lot of fun. Hey, it's the Christmas spirit, right?
Every dollar counts.
Right.
Like there's no pre-qualification. Come in and be a part of the giving season. We're very excited for it tomorrow. It's at Ruler Foods in St. Charles. We'll be out there from noon to 3. Come be a part of something great. We would love to meet you or to see you again. Quick break. Annie, are you okay at 2:30? And Ethan Sports and Local a little bit before that. Don't go away. It won't do you no good.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Airo. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.